Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we study this passage from your word, that you will speak to our hearts and teach us things that we need to know to honour you in our lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In his preaching, Jesus said once, "The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent." Our faith is very important in our work for God. When we started this series of sermons a fortnight ago, John left us with these thoughts. The privilege of being born again, the great challenge to live as those who are set apart, holy to him. So as we move on to the second sermon with the title, Faith Without Works is Dead, I begin with a question. Is your faith alive or dead? Question we need to ask ourselves from time to time. What is the state of my faith? How do people know that you are a Christian? By your words? By your deeds? Or by a combination of the two? James chapter 2 verse 14 reminds us and challenges us that to claim to have faith is no use if we have no deeds to back it up. What makes faith real seems to be at the back of James's understanding as he helps us to study the relation between faith and works. And so please turn to James chapter 2, verse 14. If you've closed your Bible, please open it. James chapter 2, verse 14 is on page 1214. Verse 14, faith. Can it be expressed without deeds? Will it indeed save us without deeds? Is faith alone enough for our salvation? This passage warns us to beware of the boast of having faith. In his commentary on this book, Manton says, "Saving faith will have deeds." And here, in verses 14 and 15 and 16, James shows the uselessness of inaction in response to someone's need. It would seem that he is thinking about our response to the needs of our fellow Christians, as he speaks of a brother or sister without clothes or food. Surely no one would neglect their relatives. And yet, I read an article in yesterday's paper about a mother who totally neglected her son. So it is possible. The response given in verse 16 would appear to be scandalous. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but knows nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Wishful thinking about the fulfillment of a brother or sister, Christian's physical need, would be totally inappropriate. In fact, it would be scandalous. In 1 John 3, we read of his teaching about this sort of scenario. "Dear children, this is the last hour. This is how we know." Sorry, I think I've got the wrong verse. No. Yes, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. Beg your pardon. John 3, 1 John 3, verse 17. "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his love for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Observe need requires positive help. Not just fine words. What might this mean for us? Each situation will be different, but this is just an illustration that James is using. Verse 17, I think, tells us what he's getting at. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It is a severe warning about dead faith, faith that doesn't produce good deeds. Beware of a false claim to have faith. And Paul speaks of the pointer to the reality of our faith in Titus chapter 3, where he speaks of the way of salvation, and then he goes on to tell the disciples, I want you to stress these things that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Faith and actions going together. And you remember too Paul's word to the Ephesians. Salvation is by grace, through faith, not of works, lest we boast. But after that bit that we know so well, he goes on to say, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has work for us to do. Our salvation is not just a personal matter, it has social implications. Demonstrate your faith is what James is saying here. And remember the words of Jesus when he was speaking about himself before his crucifixion. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. James is speaking clearly about saving faith, that implicit trust in what God in Christ has done for us, so that faith is worked out in deeds of service, good works, it will bring glory to God. And faith is not just belief, as verse 19 points out. You believe that there is a God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. There are some things that you believe in which make you scared, surely. And he says, it's not that kind of belief. A living faith will be active, bringing forth much fruit, as we saw from Jesus' words in John 15. In Christ, we shall be active with a fruit-bearing faith. And James goes on to give some examples to help us to understand what he's talking about. In verses 21 to 24, he's talking about Abraham's faith. Now you remember that Abraham was asked by God to sacrifice his son. I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis so we can look a little more at this. So page 17 in your Bible, Genesis chapter 17, page 17 in your pew Bibles, I think it is. Genesis 17, and you remember how God changed Abraham's name and changed Sarai's name. And he, look at verse 15, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down and laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? In verse 19, then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." God made that promise to Abraham about Isaac. Then if you turn over to chapter 22, on page 22, you will find that Abraham is tested. He's told by God to take his son, verse 2, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." So Abraham prepares to obey. He goes on a journey with Isaac and some servants. And then in verse 5, he said to the servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Faith is there that Isaac will come back with him. And then Isaac asks him, "Well, Father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" Verse 8, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." And the two of them went on together. And then you know how he bound his son and put him on the pyre, was about to take the knife to slay him, and God stopped him. God knew that he had been obedient, and he restored his son to him. And not only did he return with his son to the servants, but God did provide the lamb for the sacrifice. So Abraham's faith was indeed shown in that, although perhaps he didn't understand it at the time. And perhaps by study of those Old Testament passages, James had come to understand something about it. And so if we go back to James' epistle, chapter 2, and we can look and see what his comment is about this. Verse 23, "The scripture was fulfilled that said, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.'" What a wonderful thing. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. He was obedient, he acted. Then James goes on to talk of another person in the Old Testament. I don't know if you know the story of Rahab. She was not a very reputable woman, a prostitute. And yet, when Joshua sent the spies to spy out Jericho, to see how it would be when they wanted to attack Jericho, she took them in. She cared for them. She covered them up when people came to search for them. And then she let them go. And then, when they had gone and gone back to Joshua and given him all the information he needed, when Jericho was conquered, Rahab was saved because she had been faithful. And I wonder if you realize that she became the great, great, great grandmother of King David. She was completely joined in with the people of God. And of course, as that relationship, she was an ancestress of Jesus himself, as indeed was Abraham. So these people of faith were part of God's plan in the salvation of which James also speaks. If you look to verse 8, you will see James says, "If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right." Well, of course, you can't love your neighbor as yourself without doing something. You can't just do it in your head, can you? If I love my neighbor, I will look out for him. I will act for him or her. When they're in need, I will do things to help them. And that doesn't necessarily mean just your next door neighbour, but those who you have a neighbourly relationship with. And without this attitude of faith, accompanied by faith, by deeds, our faith is dead. Look at verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Faith without deeds is useless. A corpse, when the breath has gone, is dead. We all know that, don't we? And James is saying, if our faith has gone, we're like a corpse. So what will this mean for us? Remember the words of Jesus. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. What we do for others, we do for Christ himself. And what we neglect to do, we are neglecting our love for Christ. Our title talked about works, and our NIV calls it deeds. They are signs of true faith. Manton again in his commentary says, no person of real faith is without good works. And how does this work out in our modern world? What will we do for Christ? Matthew in his commentary says, James seems to say that faith is productive of works. It drives us on to works. So as Christians with faith, our faith will be expressed often by donating to reputable charities, and particularly Christian charities. We will use our skills in acts of service to our neighbours and to others. We will use our acts of service particularly towards our fellow Christians and those who are needy, those who are needy in the world both near and far. So we each need to assess our response to the challenge of doing good works. But we need to do it according to our means, because God has given us resources. But let's remember, when we think it's going to be too costly, that widow who Jesus watched put her last coins into the treasury in the temple. Our life of faith will be shown to be dead or alive, not just by our words, but by our deeds, which Jesus says will bring glory to God. Often we have heard, read in church, this verse of scripture urging us to give our offering. But it's much bigger than that. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and praise your Father in heaven. Amen.